Like, get you ready and start.
Okay. I don't know how to start it.
Get started.
Okay.
Wait, what?
No, seltzer. But you want Mashka? I'd like to welcome everybody to the continuation of the series about Shechter and Shiurim. And I want to tell you right now that we've arranged also that Rav Shechter should be back here in 2 weeks in Mir Sashem. Topic to be announced. When Rav Shechter decides on the topic, it'll be announced. I'd like to thank Dr. Schoenfeld for sponsoring tonight's year. Without any further ado, Rav Shechter. One more thing, one more request. I would appreciate, and many of the attendees would appreciate, if all questions are held till the end of this year.
Shut off your cell phone.
Okay. Good to rock, everybody.
Thank you.
There is a prohibition of intermarriage. A Jewish man is not permitted to marry a non-Jewish woman, and a Jewish woman is not permitted to marry a non-Jewish man. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama quotes the position of the Ramban, Halacha Lamaisa, that when a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, this is more serious than Aveira. That's considered Yoharik Val Yavra. If the alternative is that he gives up his life, unless he lives with this woman, so he has to give up his life. The other way, a non-Jewish Jewish woman living with a non-Jewish man, that's an Aveira like eating chazer, like being Mechal Shabbos. That's not Yoharik Val Yavra. That's not that serious. In fact, there always was a minig in Europe for many, many generations, that when a Jewish man would marry a non-Jewish woman, the family would sit shiva. So strictly speaking, in the other direction, there never really was such a move, that if a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man, and the difference is obvious that when a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, the children will be non-Jewish, so that's the end of the line. As opposed to the reverse order, when a non-Jewish, the Jewish woman marries a Jewish man, the children will be Jewish. We had a case, a little humorous case. In the summertime, you go to Tannersville for vacation, so they have a mikveh there, a beautiful mikveh. So there was a girl from Borough Park who was very picky, and she duch him, and every time she went out with a boy, not good enough, and then she was already in her 30s, and no one was good enough, so she married a non-Jewish man. But she was observing Taras HaMishpacha, so she went to the mikveh all the time. She lived in Albany. She used the mikveh. So then the Chachemis, after a year of using the mikveh, told the mikveh lady that she's married to a non-Jewish man. So the mikveh lady said, sorry, we can't allow you to use the mikveh again. So she started coming in the summertime. The mikveh in Tannersville is functional. So the woman started to come to the mikveh in Tannersville. So the rabbi told me, this was years ago, so the rabbi told me that rumor has it that this woman is married to a non-Jewish man, should be permitted to use the mikveh. So I said, you're not obligated to believe the rumors. Don't give her a hard time. Let her use the mikveh. Then the chachemist went and she told the rabbi's wife that she's married to a non-Jewish man. So they had to tell her the policy is, we don't allow you to use the mikveh. She's using the mikveh in order to sin, to live with a non-Jewish husband. That's how they are.
She couldn't be with them anyways.
Okay, but we can't allow her to use the mikveh to enable her to sin. So the halacha says that intermarriage is forbidden. If it's a Jewish woman living with a non-Jewish man, it's an avera like Chilul Shabbos, like Dreyfus. And if it's a Jewish man married to a non-Jewish woman, so the expression in the Tanakh is that it's considered as if he became a mechutin to the avodah zara. Kibual basel necha. And that's considered Yoharik Val Yavra, and that's the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch. So because of this serious aveira of intermarriage in either direction, the rabbis introduced three prohibitions which they thought may prevent intermarriage, or at least slow down intermarriage. So one was Bishalakum. A Jew is not permitted to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew, because that may lead to too much friendship and to intermarriage. This was such an old issa. This issa was very early, to the extent that some of the Chachamim and the Gemara thought that it was a biblical prohibition. Then the Gemara finally points out, no, that's not an issa deraisa, it's only a gzera derabbanon to prevent intermarriage. After the prohibition of Bishalakum, the later rabbis introduced a prohibition of Pasakum. You're not permitted to eat bread that was baked by a non-Jew. We all follow a kula that doesn't really, the Gemara is not so clear that this kula should be followed. We all follow the kula that if it's pas palter, If the bread is baked, if you know all the ingredients are kosher, it's just that it's baked by a non-Jew. So if it's baked by my next door neighbor who's a non-Jew, and I'm watching the way he makes the kosher bread, so then it can lead to intermarriage. But if it's produced by a baker, and he bakes the bread for the whole community, many people eat the bread. So I should marry his daughter, Mistama, a non-Jew. I'll marry his non-Jewish daughter. So we follow that cooler, that paspalter. Palter is a baker who bakes for the public, not Stam, my next-door neighbor. So we follow that leniency, that paspalter is permissible. And that's why we have the practice that during Aseres Meitshuva, we are machmer on that, because it's really a dispute, there are different opinions. And Aseres Meitshuva, we don't rely on paspalter. The Mishnah Berurah points out that it's not just Aseres Meitshuva, people make a mistake, Shabbos and Yom Tov also. You're not supposed to use paspalter. So some say, you're not allowed to use paspalter for Lecha Mishnah. But as long as the Lech Mishnah is, as long as the Amotzi by the three meals is recited over Pas Yisrael, so then you're permitted to eat the Pas Palter on Shabbos. And the Mishnah verse says that's not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that even Tanash Entenmann's cookies have an OU, but it's a non-Jewish company, so that's Pas Palter. So one is not permitted to eat. Not only can you not use Entenmann's Chalas, well, don't make any Chalas, not only can you not use Entenmann's, when I was growing up, everybody used Stumas. Stumas had the hashgacha from the Stuma Rav. That wasn't his name, but people used to joke in Stuma Rav, Rabbi Wolkin. So it was kosher, but it was pasakum, so everybody used it for Shabbos Yom Tov. You're not supposed to use it. It's pas palter, may be eaten on the weekdays, but not on Shabbos Yom Tov. And even Entenmann's cookies, which we don't use for Lech Mishnah anyway, but you're not supposed to eat it on Shabbos Yom Tov. Then the rabbis prohibited wine that's manufactured by a non-Jew. Also because this may lead to intermarriage. I may enjoy the wine so much, I may decide I want to have every guest, I'll marry the daughter of the wine businessman, and he'll always supply me every week, he'll supply me with his delicious wine. So the rabbis introduced the three prohibitions, that you're not allowed to eat bishalakum, food that was cooked by a non-Jew, pasakum, bread that was baked by a non-Jew, you're not allowed to drink wine that was manufactured by a non-Jew. As far as this prohibition is concerned, that it may lead to intermarriage, so it would have been sufficient if they would have prohibited the wine b'shtiyah. You're not allowed to drink the wine, that's a ginuk. They wouldn't have prohibited b'hanor. But once they've made the issur on stam yenam, that you're not allowed to drink the wine that's manufactured by the non-Jew, so then they said there is a far-out chance that maybe the non-Jew used the wine for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Maybe he used menasach wine for the sake of Avodah Zarah. So this is such a far-fetched chashash. This is what we would call in the Talmud, Nilsa de lo shchicha lo goza be'rabonu. The rabbis wouldn't have the right to make a gzera that you're not allowed to drink wine. Maybe the non-Jew was menasach the wine. Maybe he poured it in for the sake of Avodah Zarah. But once they made the gzera ready not to drink the wine that's manufactured by the non-Jew because it may lead to intermarriage, so then they added on this kenetch in addition. Not only you're not allowed to drink it, you're not allowed to get hanor from it because to expand the already existing gzera, that you have a right to do, even if the concern is a little far-fetched. So they added on this concern, maybe the non-Jew was menasach the wine l'shem Avodah Zarah, and once they added on this concern, so then they added another situation. What if the wine is Carmel wine, or the wine is whatever, what's American wine? Kerem. The wine is manufactured by Jewish people. I'm allowed to marry his daughter, but the non-Jew is handling the wine. So then they added on a concern, well, if the non-Jew is handling the wine, so maybe he was menasach the wine l'shem Avodah Zarah. So they asked that wine also, even though it's manufactured by a Jew. And if I want to have Avi Kikest, I'll marry Herzog. I think Mr. Herzog is the balabas over the Kedem wine. So that's perfectly okay. His children are Jewish. But they made the prohibition, you're not allowed to drink or get hanor from the wine that was handled by the non-Jew because of the far-fetched chashash, that maybe the non-Jew was menasach the wine l'Avodah Zarah. If the non-Jew was really menasach the wine for Avodah Zarah, then it would have to be also b'hanor. The Gemara points out Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Daf Yomi people just covered this Gemara, that there are four prohibitions in connection with Avodah Zarah. There are four things that are also b'hanor: the actual idol itself, the pesel of Avodah Zarah, the statue, the totem pole, then the noye Avodah Zarah. Let's say they have a statue that they worship and they put on jewelry. So the Noye Avodah Zarah is also Asa B'Hanor. The Gemara derives it from a Pesach Kesef Zov Asher Aleihem. The non-Jews would hang on the jewelry on the Pesach Avodah Zarah. Then they have Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. Let's say they have an altar on which they put the sacrifices, or they have a frying pan where they burn incense, or they have a knife which they use for shechting karbonis l'shem avodah zarah, or they have a candlestick, candelabra, and they light candles l'shem avodah zarah. So all of these are mishamshei avodah zarah. So mishamshei avodah zarah are also aser b'anah. Then there's a fourth prohibition, tikru v'avodah zarah. Whatever they offered as a gift to the avodah zarah, so that's aser b'anah. The Gemara points out the differences l'halacha, that the actual avodah zarah itself, or the noyei avodah zarah, the jewelry that they hang on, they dress up the avodah zarah, or the mishamshei avodah zarah, their bittul helps. If the avodah zarah was worshipped by a non-Jew, and it belongs to a non-Jew, so if another non-Jew will come and say, I don't believe in this avodah zarah, I hold that I'm God. They'll say something ridiculous. I hold that the seltzer bottle is God. That's something just as ridiculous. They said, this is not a deity. This thing is not God. So then it makes it muta b'hanor. The din is that if it's avodah zarah of a non-Jew that doesn't belong, it was a non-Jew who worshipped it, and it doesn't belong to a Jew, then a non-Jew can be mevatel avodah zarah. If the avodah zarah was worshipped by a Jew, or was worshipped by a non-Jew and that belongs to a Jew, or you want a Jew to be mevatel it, so then there's no bittul. Bittul has to only be on avodah zarah. Shel nochri, and a nochri can be mevatel avodah zarah. So the Gemara says that the first three things that are aser b'anah, people will make it muta b'anah. The actual getchke itself, the idol itself, the noy avodah zarah. Once a non-Jew declares, I don't believe that this is an avodah zarah, it could be the same non-Jew who worshipped it changed his mind. He says, no, that's not the avodah zarah, that's the avodah zarah. He switched his deity in midstream. So as long as a non-Jew declares, I don't believe that this avodah zarah, so the pestle itself becomes muta b'anah mikan al habo, the noyei avodah zarah become muta b'anah mikan al habo, and it will declare that I don't plan to use these mishamshi anymore. Let's say the galochim in the church are buying a new altar and they're selling the old altar. They're buying new frying pans, are buying new knives to shech the karbonis l'avodah zarah, and they're selling the old knives, or they're selling the candles that they use in the shem avodah zarah. So if they sell the candles to the Jews, obviously you know it's not going to be used again for the sake of avodah zarah. So then the sale of the candles itself constitutes a bitl of the avodah zarah. So then the mishamshei will be muta b'anah. But on tikruvis, tikruvis is also b'anah. If something was offered to the avodah zarah, let's say the wine that you pour in front of the avodah zarah, or you shech the carbon for the avodah zarah, so the flesh of the carbon, that's also b'anah because of the past history, not because of the fact that it's oymed, it's going to be used for avodah zarah, because it was once tikruvis avodah zarah. So even if a non-Jew will say, I don't believe that this is a getchke, I don't believe that this is a deity, it doesn't help. The bittul only works mikana lahabot, it means b'vat l'avodah zarah, or noye avodah zarah, mishamshe avodah zarah. Bittul doesn't help on tikruvis avodah zarah. The Darkei Tshuva by the Munkacher quotes from the Poskim that by the Catholics, when they use a wine, they use wine and wafers in their religious ceremonies. So they believe that after they offer their incantations, which people call the hocus pocus, because they recite some kind of a prayer in Latin that sounds like it rhymes with hocus pocus. So those who make fun of the avodah zarah refer to their prayers as hocus pocus. So they declare that the wafer now converts to become the flesh of Yoshke, and the wine now converts to become the blood. This is now the flesh and blood of Osa Huish. Jesus. There's a din, you're not allowed to mention the name of an avodah zarah. If the name was given when the person, well, when the thing became an avodah zarah, but the name Jesus, he was given by the bris. So that's his name. The second name, that's already l'shem avodah zarah. But the first name is the name that he had before he became, before he was elevated to higher madrig, before he became God. So the poskim say it's muta. The meaning is that we don't say it, but the strictly speaking is muta. So that's what the poskim say. According to the belief of the Catholics, we think the whole thing is a joke, but according to the belief of the Catholics, after they offer their prayer, so the wine doesn't become tikruvis. The wine becomes the avodah zarah itself. So bittul would help on that. If a non-Jew would do the prayer service and in his mind convert the wine, the wafer and the wine into the flesh and blood of Osa Ha'ish, then if another non-Jew comes along and says, I hold that this is garbage, this is ridiculous, so the wine would become muta. Wine that you pour in front of it deserves tikruvis. The tikruvis has no bittul at all. But the wine that the Christians, the Catholics, use in their ceremony, that's not tikruvis. And according to their glutton, that becomes Osa Ha'ish itself, that becomes the avodah zarah. So bittul does work on the actual avodah zarah itself. So this is the background of the prohibition of Stam Yenam. The original Isser of Stam Yenam was introduced because of the concern of intermarriage. And as far as that concern, it should only be Osir if the wine was manufactured by the non-Jew. And it should only be Osir Bishtiyah. It should be forbidden to drink it, but there shouldn't be Nisa Hanah. But because Tosfos explains they wouldn't have introduced the Gzeirah because of the concern that maybe the non-Jew was menasachet, that's so far-fetched, he's menasach the wine that he's going to sell it to me. Why should he give it over to someone else to drink if it's a holy thing? So it's very far-fetched. But once they made the Gzeirah because they were concerned about intermarriage, then they have a right to add on. Tosfos has it in other places also like that. Once you have a legitimate concern, you're introducing a Gzeirah, then you have a right to expand your Gzeirah, to extend it, to include other aspects into it, even though that concern is really far-fetched. Yeah. So what exactly did they prohibit? Let's say, for example, the Gemara says, in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not permitted to use Yayin Mevushal. We have in the Beis HaMikdash, we have a mitzvah Umenchos when it came Meduber. Many times, not all the time, many karbonis, in conjunction with the carbon, you have to pour wine down the pipes on the Mizbech. That's called Nisa HaYayin. So we're not allowed to use Yayin Mevushal. Wine that was cooked may not be used in the Beis HaMikdash. The same thing done when you makriv a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. So you have to do the Avodah Sadam, you have to do the Zrika Sadam on the Mizbeach. So let's say the Kohenim will collect the dam in a container, then they're going to cook it, and then they want to sprinkle it on the Mizbech. So the Gemara says, once you mevashal a dam, it's not kosher for Zrika al-Gabi HaMizbech. That's why we pasken Ashkenazim, pasken la'alochim, Shulchan Aruch, that dam should be shlow. If you have blood that you're not allowed to drink, it's a biblical prohibition, it's a chumash, but if you, let's say we salt the flesh before we cook it. Why? If you're going to cook the flesh, it's going to be full of dam, so it's going to be treif. So strictly speaking, if you cook the flesh without salting it, the dam becomes mutter, because dam shebishlo may not be offered on the mizbeach. And the chumash says that the prohibition against eating blood, even not only from carbon, it's prohibition against eating blood even from the behemoth chulin, that's not a carbon, is because Kianin is Satur Lachem ala Mizbeach, Lachaper. The blood is supposed to be used for Zrika and the Mizbeach. So if the blood, Dam Shebishla, is not kosher with Zrika or Gabi HaMizbeach, so with the Ashkenazim Paskin that it's only Anisa de Rabbanan. And it has consequences La Locha. Sometimes we have a Suffolk, whether there's Dam or not, so we would Paskin Suffolk de Rabbanan Lakula. By Svardim it's questionable, because the Svardim always follow Rabbi Yosef Karo, they follow always the Mechaber, and the Svardim are not sure what Rabbi Yosef Karo's opinion was on this. They have a dispute, what's the Mechaber's opinion? But the Ramah clearly says that we paskin that for Ashkenazim, that Dam Shebishloi is only the Rabbanan. Same thing by a carbon. Let's say when you bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to burn the Chalav. Certain Chalavim have to be burnt on Mizbech, we call that Emurim. When you bring a carbon oil, you burn the whole thing, even the Evarim, not only the Emurim, not only the fat, you burn the whole thing. So let's say, instead of burning it directly, they'll shech the carbon, then they'll cook the Emurim, or cook the Evarim, and then they want to burn it on the Mizbech. So the Gemara says, nothing doing. Whatever is cooked already may not be carried on the Mizbech, not for Nisa Hayayin, not for Zvika Zadam, and not for Haktaras Emurim. That's not called Reach Nichoyach. Reach Nichoyach is it has to be raw flesh that you're burning on the Mizbech. So because by us we have such a din that the Yayin Mevushal is not kosher for Nisuch HaYayin, so the non-Jews also had the practice based on our dinim in the Beis HaMikdash. The non-Jews in the days of the Tanaim had the practice that they would only use wine for pouring in front of their Avodah Zarah, Yayin Sheina Mevushal. The practice was in the days of the Tanaim they wouldn't use Yayin Mevushal. So if a non-Jew manufactures wine, let's say, what's the grape juice company? Welch's grape juice. It's all cooked. Everything is cooked. So many years ago, the conservative rabbinate issued a psak that Welch's grape juice is good because it's Yayin Mevushal. Yayin Mevushal is a din if the wine is kosher wine, if a Jew manufactured the wine, and a non-Jew handles it. So what's the concern? Whose daughter am I going to marry over here? I'm not going to marry the non-Jew's daughter because he handled the wine. I'm going to marry the Jew's daughter, the one who manufactures the wine. So if the wine was handled by a non-Jew, there's a different chashash. Maybe he was menasech et l'avodah zarah. So if he handles Yayin Mevushal, just like we would never use it for nisuch hayayin in the Beis HaMikdash, so the non-Jews wouldn't use it either to be menasech l'avodah zarah. So Yayin Mevushal, Yayin Shal Yisrael, that's Mevushal. You don't have to be concerned, maybe the Nochri had Kavanah L'Shem Nisa. But if the non-Jew manufactures the wine, what does it help that it's Yayin Mevushal? manufactured by a non-Jew. The reason for the prohibition is the normal reason, because you may marry his daughter. So the kula of Yaima Bushel doesn't apply over there. I remember when Rav Soloveitchik came into class, this was over 45 years ago, so he was laughing his head off. He used to read, the Yiddish newspaper used to come out every day. He used to write up all the latest news. He used to write up the latest chidushim from the theological seminary. So they wrote up this psak, that the Yaima Bushel is mutter, and therefore you're allowed to drink Welch's grape juice. So he said it over in class and he was laughing, he couldn't contain himself, and he asked the students, didn't know what's so humorous about it. So we didn't know the dinim, we didn't know what it said. So he said, no, anybody knows? So Aaron Lichtner seems to say, he explained to the students why it was a joke. Yeah, and then they quoted, I remember that time, they quoted the Tshuvas HaRamah. The Ramah and the Tshuvas says like that. The Yayim Avushal manufactured by a non-Jew is okay. You're allowed to drink Yayim Avushal. So we looked up, he didn't know what Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't know, he didn't know kind of Tshuvas HaRamah. So we looked it up. That was a total distortion. The Ramah has the following. The Jews in Poland used to buy their wine from the Jews in Italy. Italian Jews would manufacture wine. They would deliver it in the cellar in Poland. So the Jews in Italy used to drink Goyisha wine. The Jews who manufactured the kosher Jewish wine, they themselves used to drink non-Jewish wine. So we have a Mishnah in Pcheres that says, HaKosher Aladov Aladon Aladamira. The mikveh lady who tells you that the mikveh is kosher, that she made the hashaka, and she tells you that there are no chatzitzis and the yeh was under the surface of the water, if she herself doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha, so she doesn't have namanis to say that the mikveh is kosher. The one who is cooking in a restaurant, if the Jewish chef doesn't keep kosher, the chef himself doesn't keep kosher, he doesn't have namanis to tell me, oh, for the rabbi, he's sure he's going to give kosher. Doesn't help. If the chef himself doesn't observe kashrus inside his home and outside of his home, then the Mishnah says he doesn't have namanis to say that the food that he's giving me is kosher. So the question was, if the Jewish manufacturers of the wine in Italy, they themselves drank non-Jewish wine, they drank non-kosher wine, how can they have namanis to sell their kosher wine with hashgacha to the Jews in Poland and tell them, oh, we ourselves, we drink trefil wine, but as far as you can, this wine was made by Jews and non-Jews didn't touch. They shouldn't have namanis. So the Ramah has a ganze tshuva where it's okay. So he explains like this. He says, why did the rabbis permit paspalter? Why did they allow the Jews? Why is our practice with someone? Not so makel, but we follow that opinion that if the bread was baked by a baker who supplies bread to the whole neighborhood, not by next door neighbor, baked me a bread and I was watching, that'll lead to kirav hadas, that may lead to intermarriage. But if it's a baker, he bakes for the whole community, so that's a heterim bread. Why is it only a heterim bread? Why doesn't it apply to bishalatum? If someone is a chef and he cooks for the whole neighborhood? So the Rishonim explained why, because years ago, paraphrasing a pasuk in Chumash, the pasuk in Chumash says, ki lo al alechem li vado yechye ha'adam. So the Rishonim have an expression, al alechem yechye ha'adam. Pasuk says, not on bread alone does man live, but years ago, bread was the main part of the meal. Some people in Eretz Yisrael now, you say, they eat six in yeshivas. The Israelis, they eat six slices of bread and a little bit something else with the bread. But they'll eat six, seven slices of bread in the middle of the meal. In America, many people only eat bread on Shabbos and Yom Tov because you have to have Lech HaMishnah. All week long, people don't eat bread b'chalal. They don't eat so much bread. But because years ago, Lech and Yechiyod and bread was so crucial, that was the main part of the meal. So that's why the Chachamim made this heter, that if it's paspalter, you can't be machma so much. The Jews were always in business to make money, and the bakers never made so much money. So the Jews were never interested in becoming bakers. The Nochrim didn't have so much seichel, so they became bakers. So there was a shas hadchak, al alechem yechiyodim, you have to have bread to eat. So the Chachamim made a kula, if it's paspalter, if it was baked by a baker, and he's selling it to the whole public, and it's highly unlikely that a Jewish boy is going to fall in love with his daughter because he's eating the bread. Everybody's eating his bread. The whole community is eating the bread. So they made no gzeres. So the Ramah writes in the Tshuva, in Italy, all the water is polluted. So you have to have a drink in the middle of the meal. So you have no breiras, so they all have to drink wine. So they made up in their mind, he says, the heter, the kula is incorrect. But he says, the balabatim or moira heter. Moira heter means they know it's wrong, but beretzachayim, they're talking into themselves that it's not so bad. So they talked it into themselves that since the water is polluted, you have to drink something. So it's a shasat kach, so you're allowed to drink the goyish wine, just like al alechem yechiyodim, so paspalter is mutter, so the yayin in Italy you're allowed to drink. But these religious Jews who drank that wine in Italy, if they would be in Poland, they would know not to drink the wine. In Poland, the water is not polluted. So the Ramah says in the Tshuva, That's not called achosher al adab al adonav al amehida. If the fellow knows he's doing wrong, if a woman doesn't observe taras hamishbacha, she doesn't have the manas to say that the mikveh is kosher. If a person doesn't keep kosher, he knows he is not keeping kosher, so then he doesn't have the manas to say that the food is kosher. But here's the amzachaygeret, they talked it into themselves that they're allowed to drink the treif of wine. So even though we know that the heter is incorrect, but you can't label them as a choshen al adab because they think that it's not so bad. They think that they have a heter. But the Ramah doesn't say that it's mutter. This is what was printed in the newspapers years ago. The conservative Bar Halacha came up with the heter that the Welch's grape juice is mutter because it's Yayim Mevushel. And Yayim Mevushel, the Gemara says there's no prohibition. And then they said, and the Ramah says that it's mutter. So the Ramah never said that. The Ramah said they're not called choshen al adab. And the heter of Yayim Mevushel only applies if it's the wine was manufactured by Jewish people and it's kosher wine and the Nochri handles it. So then there's no chashash of intermarriage, only a chashash, maybe he was menasachet, so we would never use Yayim Mevushel on the Mizbech, so they would never use it. In the days of the Torah, they would never use the Yayim Mevushel to be menasach l'abed azar. That's why there's no concern.
Why wasn't there a chashash that the girl was menasach before it was
Mevushel? Even if he wasn't menasach before it's Mevushel, if he manufactures the wine, so it's also because of the chashash it may lead to intermarriage.
But why isn't there a chashash with Nisuch and Yayim Mevushel? Maybe the girl was menasach
No, the whole, I didn't explain it well. If I have kosher wine, Jewish wine, which I know is mevushel, it says on the bottle, this, then I know the goy handles it after it's already mevushel. The goy didn't come till after it was mevushel. Then the Gemara says that he's not going to be menasachet, because we would never use it on the mizbech, so they would never use it for avodah zarah either. Today, in recent years, there was a big question, what's the definition of Yayim Mevushel? How hot does it have to be cooked? So the Tzelem Erav, Zechon Lebracha, the one who originally used to give the Hashgacha on the Kedem wine, was of the opinion that it's only called Mevushel the way it says it, the way it sounds like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you cooked it till 212 and it started to evaporate. And if you only pasteurize the wine, the pasteurization purpose is they don't have to cook it until 212. So some of the bottles of Kedem wine, they all say pasteurized, some of them say Mevushel, some of them say Eino Mevushel. And Moshe Feinstein makes fun of this in his Tshuvas, and he says, what are you talking about? There is a discussion in the Or Zoruah, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, how hot do you have to cook the wine that it should be considered Mevushel? So Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara has a discussion. There are three forms of Bishul on Shabbos. Bishul is one of the 39 prohibited Melachas on Shabbos. So one is Bishul. So I remember when I was growing up, there was a Shabbos in one of the shuls in the Bronx, who thought that he was a big Talmid Chacham, and he published Svarim. He used to write his own Chidush Torah. So I remember as a child, I remember reading his Svarim. So he has one of his Svarim. He doesn't understand what the rabbis are hacking a cup, hacking a chayinik about tea bags on Shabbos. Bishul on tea bags, who eats tea? Bishul is on food. How can you talk about Bishul on non-food items? So the answer is the Gemara says the Farish. The Gemara, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch says there are three branches of the prohibition of Bishul. Bishul on flesh and on potatoes is if you cook it till it becomes edible. If it's raw, people wouldn't eat it. And then you cook and make it edible, that's the prohibition of Bishul. Then it's Bishul on water. The water from the tap, you can drink the way it is. You can't say, I cook the water till it's edible. So there must be a different shear. You can't say till you make it roy lachila straight from the tap. So Bishul by water is when you cook it till the point of yatzal edisbo. A certain point in the heat, we'll soon discuss in a minute. And then the Gemara talks about Bishul on tar. On wooden pegs, on other things that are totally inedible. So the Gemara says that's another din of Bishul. On inedible items, the Gemara says that's one branch of the prohibition of Bishul. And how much do you have to cook it? So the Rambam says, everybody knows the Rambam. The Rambam says if you cook something soft till you make it hard, or you cook something that's hard till you make it soft, till you change it from hard to soft or soft to hard. So there is Bishul on non-food items. That's beferish in the Gemara. So the Gemara has a discussion, how hot do you have to cook the water? You can't say till you cook the water till it's edible. The water, you could drink the water straight from the tap. So how hot do you have to cook the water? So the Gemara says, is hefshero zehu bishulo? If you make it lukewarm, kosher, is hefshero zehu bishulo or not? Or do you need higher than that? So the Gemara says, no, hefshero lo zehu bishulo. If you just heat the water till it becomes lukewarm, that's not sufficient to be a malacha deraisa. You have to heat the water till the point of Yatzah Ledesbo. So that's a question, how high is Yatzah Ledesbo that it's prohibited? So in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosu, he has a whole Chiddush 114 degrees. It gives you a whole explanation how he came to that conclusion, a little humorous. Here in America, the Kashrus organizations are machmir to consider 100 degrees Yatzah Ledes, and that's a Chumrah. We assume it's something much higher than 120. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, he thinks it has to be something above 140. He thinks it's somewhere between 140 and 160. So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that Yayin Mevushal, that the non-Jew handles Yayin Mevushal, kosher Yayin Mevushal, the non-Jew handles it. There's no concern that maybe he had in mind to be Menasech Labad Azara. So the Azaru has a suffix, is it sufficient if you cook the wine till the point of poshrim, till it's lukewarm? Or should we say no, just like in Hilchos Shabbos, Abshero, Lozel Bishulo, lukewarm is not called Mevushal. So for this din also, lukewarm is not enough. You have to cook it till the point of Yatzah Ledes. So Moshe Feinstein says, but nobody says you have to cook it till evaporation point, till 212. Whoever, hey, who had such a habamin, he said, that's a mistake. They misunderstood what he's tying against the Tzelem Rav. He said he misunderstood what it said in Shulchan Aruch. The whole Shulchan Aruch is based on this Ozerua. The Ozerua had a suffix whether if he cooked it till it's lukewarm, is that enough that if the non-Jew will handle is no chashash? The Ozerua is machma, so we're machma. Once you cooked it to the point of Yatzah Ledes, so that's sufficient. But how much is Yatzah Ledes? So we are machma on Shabbos, Yatzah Ledes 114, 120, 140, whatever, but that's the chumrah, the lowest degree. Here you want to make sure that for sure you had Yatzah Ledes, that if the non-Jew handles it, you shouldn't make a trade. So what is the highest possible degree temperature that you have to have that maybe it's not Yatzah Ledes till you reach that point. 120 is a chumrah in that direction. What is the biggest chumrah that you can set? So Moshe Feinstein has three tshuvas, where he gives three different suggestions. It's a three-way contradiction. He wrote different tshuvas at different times. One he writes 175, one he writes 185, one he writes 190. We usually assume something like 175. Higher than 175, you don't have to go. So whenever you pasteurize the wine, it's always more than 175. It's not always going to be 212. The Stelah, the Tzelema who gives the Hashgacha on the Kerem wine, so he told him that on some, now his stepson took over the Hashgacha, so they still have the same policy. All the wines are pasteurized, Kerem, or they're fancy Israeli wines, or European wines that are not pasteurized, but all the Kerem wines are all pasteurized. So some of them will say Mevushal, some of them say non-Mevushal, because they go with the opinion, it's only considered Mevushal if it reached 212 degrees, which it doesn't always reach. And Moshe Feinstein said that it's not correct. He holds that 175, that's what he said, 175 is more than enough, and pasteurization is always more than 175. So he says all the wines that are pasteurized, they're all considered Yayim Mevushal. So if an angel will handle pasteurized wine, he won't answer it. There's no chashash of nisuch. He won't answer it. Correct, right. But Moshe Feinstein will say that he won't answer it. Yeah. Exactly what does the Nochri have to do? What do you mean he handles the wine? So Tosfos has a situation. Tosfos says, let's say there's a canteen full of wine, and the Nochri is squeezing the canteen, like over here, you can squeeze this bottle. So a lot of times you have a leather canteen, you can squeeze it, you're moving around the wine inside, it's closed. So Tosfos points out, and this is quoted in Lalach and Shulchan Aruch, that doesn't answer. Let's say the cleaning lady is cleaning out the refrigerator, so she have a bottle of wine there that I leave after Abdullah put it in the refrigerator, and then I use it next week for Kiddush, so she takes out the bottle of wine. So that doesn't make it Asa. The bottle of wine is closed. And Tosfos says, even if she'll squeeze the bottle of wine, and the wine will be moving inside, that ain't derech nisach mekach, that doesn't make it forbidden. Tosfos even shows in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about the non-Jews carrying barrels of wine on their shoulders, transporting from one location to the other, and there's no lid on the wine on top, and the goyim are holding it like this. So that doesn't make the wine treif, unless you think that maybe they stuck in their fingers. Maybe there was maga hanochri. But if you don't think there was any maga, just because the non-Jew is transporting the wine from one place to the other, I'm watching him transport the wine. He's not sticking his fingers in. So then it doesn't tassel. You have to have maga hanochri. He has to stick his fingers into the wine or take a stick and stir around. Or in the wine companies, and all the wine companies, the minig still is, the practice is, they'll put in a cup and take out part of the wine and taste it to see if it's quality, the right quality, and then they'll pour back the rest of the wine. It's all going to be pasteurized later on, so there's no concern about the germs. It's full of germs now. So they'll throw back whatever shiraim they have. Shiraim from the goys, shiraim from the rebbe. So once they dip in a cup, even if they don't touch with their fingers, once they dip in a cup, so pushing in the cup is like pushing in a stick. So that's considered maga anochri. So that would asa.
So a non-Jewish waiter pouring wine shouldn't be asa either.
Should not be a prohibition because he doesn't touch the wine. So the Talmud says that's a gzera. That's called kochel. If the non-Jew is pouring the wine and the wine comes out because of his koyach, so they made a prohibition kochel, lest people will make a mistake and even allow if the nochri touches the wine. But that's already a gzeira on top. The whole din is a din with the rabbanon to begin with. That's a gzeira on top of it. That's called kocho. So then the Gemara has a famous discussion. What's the din of notzok? Let's say a Jew has a big barrel of wine and he's pouring the wine like this, from one barrel into the other barrel. And the non-Jew comes and he touches the flow of the wine in the middle. So the wine that he touched becomes also, let's say I have a whole container full of wine. And the non-Jew touches, he sticks his finger in. So we have a principle, b'negeta kabbalah stumah, maga b'miktsasoi ke maga b'kubay. If someone is tummy and he touches, there's a long Italian bread and I touch one end, so the whole bread becomes tummy. Unless it's sliced, so only the first slice becomes tummy. First slice touching the second slice, so we'll discuss whether the first slice can be tummy the second slice. But if it's one big piece of bread, the rule is maga b'miktsasoi ke maga b'kubay. So you have a container full of wine, kosher wine, and an ochri touches, puts his finger in one location, the magabe mitzasa ke magabe kula is considered as if the nochri touched all the wine, it all becomes straight. So what if the Jew is pouring kosher wine, and the nochri touches over here? So all the wine that the nochri touched becomes also. What about the wine in the barrel on top? In the barrel on top, it's one big flow of wine. Do you say he did a maga, so the maga even relates to the wine that's left behind in the barrel on top? So that's a question. The Gemara calls that notzok. Notzok means when something is flowing. The original din of notzok is a din of mikvahs. Let's say you have two mikvahs. Each mikvah only has 20 saw. And in order for a mikvah to be kosher, you have to have a minimum of 40 saw. So two mikvahs on two different levels on the side of a mountain. And then there's rain flowing on the side of the mountain, connecting the upper mikvah with the lower mikvah. But the rain is flowing on the side. That's hardalis. Hardalis. Hardalis means the water that's flowing on the side of the mountain, the har. So is that considered a chibur to connect the upper mikveh with the lower mikveh to declare that you have 40 saw? So we pass in la'alocha that not so kein a chibur. When the water is moving, that doesn't constitute a chibur. See, the Gemara has a shaila, what about by stam yenam? Maybe we should be machma by stam yenam, that not so kein chibur. So that's a shaila. So on Shulchan Aruch, we are machma on that. That if the nochri touches some of the wine, so then you ask him even the wine that's left inside. But what happens if the nochri didn't touch any of the wine? The nochri is just pouring the wine. So the wine that goes out is considered kocho. That itself is only a chumrah, otumaga. So you're going to say the wine that's falling out is kocho, and the wine that's inside the upper bottle is considered a nutzik with the wine that's flowing. A chumrah on top of a chumrah. So we're mekel. B'di'evid will make a chadchidish and a lot. B'di'evid will make that there's no chumrav natzak on top of the chumrav koch. This whole prohibition, if the nochri handles the wine, we are concerned that maybe he had in mind l'shem tikruvus avodah zarah. Only makes sense if he's a non-Jew, has a shaychus with avodah zarah. What if it's a Jewish person who's mechal shabbos b'frahesia? So we have a din in the Gemara, sometimes you have a Jewish person who has a status like a nochri. If a shech the behemah will say, shchitas nochri is not acceptable. So who is considered a Jew, who is considered a Jewish person that's considered like a goy? So if a person doesn't believe in the ikori hamunah, not the ikoris, is din a nochri. A person who is aware of the Jewish religion, he knows about the 10 mitzvahs, and he violates 6 out of the 10 mitzvahs. He violates the majority of the mitzvahs that he's aware of. Most people don't know most of the mitzvahs. Let's say he knows there's a mitzvah to march an Israeli parade and to say Yisker and Yartzeit and Kaddish. So those 4 mitzvahs he does keep. And the other 4 mitzvahs that he heard of, whatever, Shabbos and Yom Kippur and whatever, the other 6 mitzvahs he does, and the others he never heard of. The other 600 mitzvahs he never heard of. And from the mitzvahs that he heard of, he only observes the minority of them, and the rive of the mitzvahs that he's aware of, he simply does not observe. So whoever is a mumah l'rug dini ha'toira that he's aware of is being a kinnachri. So if he shechts a behemish, he tells him a thing. Then the Gemara singles out there are two averas that if a person violates them, even though he keeps all the other mitzvahs, he's dina kinnachri. So one of them is a Jew who worships Avod Azar. A Jew is an Avod Azar is dina ka'akum. So if he shechts a behemish, he tells him a thing. If he writes tefillin, it will be possible. If he ties tzitzis, it will be possible. Whatever has to be done by a Jew, so we consider him as if he were a non-Jew. And then the other thing is a Mechal Shabbos b'Ferhesia. So Mechal Shabbos b'Ferhesia, that's the question. What's the definition? B'Ferhesia has to be b'Mezid. If Mechal Shabbos b'Shegeg, he doesn't know the laws of Shabbos, then it's not called b'Ferhesia. It has to be b'Mezid. It has to be he doesn't care who's watching at all. That's what the most assumed. The Gemara tells a story in Maseches Erevin about a Jew who is wearing a ring on Shabbos. So if it's a ring that people wear as a piece of jewelry, so that's not the violation of carrying. But they used to have a signet ring that they only use for business purposes, to stamp your name into wax. Or by us, it would be to stamp your name on a check or something like that. That's not a piece of jewelry. That's you're carrying it. So on the weekdays, you keep it on your finger to be ready. On Shabbos, you wear such a ring, a signet ring, that's a malach of Hoytzor. It doesn't enhance your good looks by wearing a signet ring. So they had this fellow who used to walk around on Shabbos with the ring, and he was in violation of, there was no Eruv, and he was in violation of Hotzor. But when the chief rabbi walked by, had a derech eretz with the rabbi, he would go like this. He would cover up the ring, he was embarrassed. The rabbi shouldn't see that he's a shaykh, he's mechal Shabbos. So the Gemara says, not so bad, as long as he has derech eretz with the chief rabbi, he's mechal Shabbos b'mezid, but it's not called mechal Shabbos b'fahes. That's what it means, that he doesn't care. He's breaking the discipline, and he doesn't care about anything. He has no derech eretz for anybody. But if he has derech eretz, then it's not considered mechal Shabbos b'fahes. So that's what the Binyan Sion was, a rabbi in Germany, Rabbi Yankov Ettlinger, one who wrote the Aruch Lanes. He wrote the Tshuvas Binyan Sion. So he writes that the Reform movement, there were so many Jews who were Reformed that weren't keeping Shabbos at all. He says he can't consider that mechal Shabbos b'fahes yet. There's so many Jews on Mechal Shabbos. Mechal Shabbos first means that he's breaking the discipline of the Jewish community. The Orthodox were the minority. The Reform were the majority. So he says he can't consider that Farhesi. The Minkach lived in Minkach. So he quotes the Binyan and says, what is he talking about? Ah, Shegit, Mechal Shabbos. Of course he's Mechal Shabbos in Minkach. He's right. For most of the Jews at his time, when the Munkach wrote his Jewish, most of the Jews were Shomi Shabbos, and the one who's going to be Mechal Shabbos is a Shegitz. But in Germany, where most of the Jews were Reformed, so that's what the Binyan says. You can't consider them Mechal Shabbos b'fahes. That's why it's usually assumed today. That's what the Chazon Ish writes, that one is Mechal Shabbos b'fahes today, unless it's in Williamsburg, unless in Bnei Brak. But in a normal Jewish community, where there's so many Jews who are not Shomer Shabbos, you can't consider him Mechal Shabbos dina kinoch. So the question is, let's say you have in Bnei Brak, or in Williamsburg, you have a Jew, it's Mechal Shabbos b'fahesia and dina kinochri. But he has no shaykhis with Avodah Zarah. So what's the din if he handles wine? Does he make the wine treif? The whole reason why if a non-Jew handles the wine, he makes a treif because it is far-fetched chashash, that's what Tosfos says, far-fetched chashash, maybe he handled the wine intending to be menasech l'Avodah Zarah. This fellow doesn't believe in any religion. He's not the Kairos. He doesn't believe in anything. So what do you mean? What kind of shaykh is being Mechal Shabbos for Hesia? He asks the wine. So there was a rabbi who was brought up in Eretz Yisrael. Later on, he was a rabbi in Hoboken, Rabbi Hirshenson, Chaim Hirshenson, and he published quite a few fascinating svarim. He always has original ideas. What's going to be? We're going to make a Medina. This was before the Medina, way before he died, way before the Medina. He was in Eretz Yisrael at the same time before he came to Hoboken, before he came to America. He was in Eretz Yisrael at the same time as Rav Kook and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He was in that neighborhood. He was brought up, I think, in Yerushalayim, in the old section, the Hungarian section of Yerushalayim. So he always had original opinions. So he was known in America. He said, even if a Mechal Shabbos, but if a Hesia handles the wine, he doesn't make a treif because there's no chashash that he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. Hotnish can shaykhis, but Avodah Zarah. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank heard about it, so he sent them a letter that real honest to goodness Tamir HaChamim who make a mistake, admit their mistake in public, so I call upon you, you should tell the Balabatim, get up and shul, tell the Balabatim you made a mistake, and admit in public that what you said is incorrect, because in the Shulchan Aruch it says that if a person is an apikiris, so he asks the wine, a person who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh asks the wine, a person who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh is not going to worship Avodah Zarah. But whoever is Nina Takum, whoever is treated, if he would check the Behemoth, would say Shchitas and Avela, if he would write a Sefer Torah, would say his Pasul. So even though the reason for the Gzeira doesn't apply, this is a person who has no Shaykhitz for Avodah Zarah, but still Gzeira does apply over here. So that's the generally accepted opinion. There are those who say like this, Rabbi Chaim Hirshenson. There are some earlier poskim say like that, but that's not the generally accepted opinion. Usually it's assumed that whoever is Dina Kinochri would asa the wine if he would handle it. Even though the hashash doesn't make any sense, it doesn't apply. In fact, one of the Gedolim in Europe, Rabbi David Kalina, has a tshuva, a shalab chamisha over all of HaPesach. Let's say there's a Jew who doesn't sell his chametz on Pesach, a storekeeper, whatever, doesn't sell his chametz on Pesach. So we have a din chametz shal Yisrael, shalab al HaPesach is also bana. Chametz shal Nochri, shalab al HaPesach, we pass in his muta bana. So what if the Jew doesn't come to shul, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he doesn't say Kaddish Yotzei Yiska, nothing, has nothing to do with Yiddishkeit. So dina ka'akum. So Rav David Kalin is prepared to say there's chamta shal nachri sha'ov al rapper. It doesn't make any sense. The whole reason why we distinguish between chamta shal nachri and chamta shal Yisrael because chamta shal rapper is the penalty of the Rabbanon because he violated by Matze. So the Jew who is in Chal Shabbos but for Hesed who doesn't keep anything, he is Jewish. He's not allowed to hold chametz in his position. He in his possession. He clearly violated by Matze. So we should make a penalty. So he says no. We say Dina Kinochri Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmi, even though the reason doesn't apply. And he proves it. Huh? Okay. And he says, we see from this Dina, he shows from other Dinim, that with respect to all these Dinim, the Rabban, even though it's for a certain reason, and the reason doesn't apply over here, the Din still applies. Okay, so that's quite an extension. But by the Stamyayim, we don't pass him like that. We pass him by the Stamyayim, if the Chal Shabbos handles it, he would say that he does us.
Can you marry his daughter?
You're permitted, certainly permitted to marry his daughter. So what if he manufactures the wine? So that's what the post can discuss. If he manufactures the wine, so what do you mean? You're not allowed to drink his wine because he may marry his daughter. But you're allowed to marry his daughter. So what's wrong?
But not according to Rav Kalin, because if he's considered a Nachri, then his daughter would also...
No, that's why he doesn't know. He says, he explains, with respect to Dinam de Rabbanon, we ignore the reasons. Respect the dinim der Eisre, doesn't it? Respect
the dinim der Eisre. I'm sorry, I'm a little confused. So most Jews on the west side are Machal Shabbos.
I'm not familiar. So I thought this is the whole west side. I'm not familiar that there's anybody else.
So if they come to your Shabbos table, they're ushering the wine, they're pouring the wine.
Well, if the wine is Mevushal, even a non-Jew mamish does nasa. And we assume that a Jew is not observant today, a Jew is Mechal Shabbos, it's not called Bifrahesia. It's not called Mechal Shabbos, because so many Jews are not observant of Shabbos, so that's not called Fahesia. Fahesia means he's breaking the discipline in the community. These people, we're breaking the discipline. The Shomer Shabbos are the miyut. The majority are non-Shomer Shabbos. So that's what the Binyan Tzion and the Chazon Ish say, and all those in between them, they say that that's not called Mechal Shabbos Bifrahesia. Rabbi Chaim Oizer has an interesting tshuva where he discusses the following. What's the story with brandy or cognac? Brandy and cognac started off as wine, and then they distill it. It means that they heat it till a certain temperature, they heat it till 50 degrees centigrade, so the alcohol will evaporate, and the rest will not evaporate. And then after it evaporates, so then they condense it, and they convert it back into a liquid, and they have alcohol now. So it originally started off as trefa wine. And then you did this distillation process. So he writes that, so we should assume it's goyish wine and it's trefa. All the brandy in the world should be trefa. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer writes in his tshuva that there were many strictly observant Jews in Europe who used to drink goyish brandy and goyish cognac based on the assumption that that's called zeya bialmo. If you had some non-kosher liquid, and you evaporate it, so when it turns into steam, it's not food. When it's in the state of steam, it's not food. It's a gas. So then if you condense it later, you take the steam and you cool it off and you convert it back into liquid, so how can you say that it's trefe? It's a new thing that came from the steam, that came from the gas. So that's what they call zeh bi'alma. In the Gemara, the expression zeh bi'alma means something totally different. It means when you squeeze out juice from fruits and vegetables. That's called Zeh B'Yama. And the Acharonim came up with this expression, Zeh B'Yama means the distillation process. If you had something, a non-kosher liquid, and you evaporated it, and then you condensed it, so this distillation process, so there are some who are of the opinion that any treifus, even a treifus min haTorah, any treifus that goes through a distillation process, once it's converted into gas, so gas can't be treifus, even if you convert it back into liquid, it remains kosher. So that opinion was never accepted. So Rav Chaim Moshe writes, there are many religious Jews who follow that opinion with respect to Stam Yenim, that they'll drink brandy and cognac because Stam Yenim is only an Issa Derabanan, so they'll rely on this opinion. According to that opinion, let's say if you would hold like this opinion, that anything that's distilled can't be treif, if you start off as treif, so let's say you have chometz dik schnapps. So how do they make chametz dikah schnapps? So they take kernels of grain, they soak them in water, soaks and turns into chametz, then has the flavor of the chametz, and then they do the distillation process, and then they cook it 50 degrees centigrade, and the alcohol evaporates, and then they condense it back again. So all schnapps should be kosher lePesach. If you really hold like this opinion that Zeh B'Yalma, anything that went through the distillation process, since there was a period of time that it was a gas, and as a guess, it can't be treif, so later on when you convert it back into liquid, it should be kosher. So everybody knows that we're machmer on that, we don't allow chometz dikah schnapps on Pesach. According to this opinion, there is no such thing as chometz dikah schnapps. So we don't drink the chometz dikah schnapps on Pesach, and we say to it that we sell the schnapps. But what if someone didn't sell the schnapps? So now you're talking about chometz over all of our Pesach is only an issa derabanan. So that's what some of the poskim amekel they say with respect to din of the rabbanon. There's room to rely on those who say Zeh B'Yalma. The Reish Rav was killed by the Nazis in the war. The Reish Rav has such a tshuva, and Avnei Chayfetz he writes like that. Shaila, a religious Jew, and he somehow forgot to sell, have a liquor shop, and he forgot to sell all of the schnapps. So now he has a hefsid of tens of thousands of dollars. So he says, in such a big shas attack, there's room to be made, to rely on the opinion that Zeh B'Yalma is a good heter by Dinam Derabbanan, not by Dinam Derais. The poskim discuss what bracha you recite. There's a different topic, really. What bracha does one recite when you drink cognac or brandy? Because it started off, let's say it's kosher cognac. I'm not talking about start off as goyish wine. Start off as kosher wine. Then you convert it into cognac and brandy. So most people say shahakol. They treat all schnapps as shahakol. So they say shahakol on this. So Rabzi Pesach Frank has a tshuva. He says they're making a mistake. And he quotes Rabbi Yankov Emden, who's from the 1700s. Rabbi Yankov Emden says that cognac and brandy, it's a shtani. The din is if you had a food that had one bracha, or adama, or eitz, and then you made a major change, so sometimes it loses its original bracha, and sometimes it retains the original bracha. So what's the rule? How do you know when does it retain the original bracha, when does it lose it? So the Gemara says the rule is, if it's ishtani, if it's improved, if the shinui makes it better than it was before, then it retains the original bracha. Ishtani l'mal yusa. If it's ishtani l'gri yusa, then it loses the original bracha. So when you have kosher wine, and you convert it into brandy or cognac, they charge more money for that. Whoever wants that, they charge more money. So he says, that's ishtani l'mal yusa. So he says it should be bar pi agafen. There's no reason that you should say shahakal on brandy or on cognac.
Not good for kiddush. Probably not good for kiddush.
It would be good for kiddush. Regular wine should be good for kiddush. Yeah. The only shaila is, maybe it's not good for kiddush for different reasons. Rav Chaim Baboshener is quoted as saying, on Friday night, the din is you have to make kiddush over wine. If wine is not available, then you say kiddush over the chalas. But you can't make kiddush over schnapps on Friday night. Chamar medin is not acceptable. On Shabbos morning, it says you can't make kiddush over chalas on Shabbos morning, because we don't have any text for the kiddush. You just say bar pi agafen. So what are you going to say? Hamotzi lechem menorot. That's how you start breakfast on a regular weekday. You say hamotzi lechem menorot. Friday night, you say agamse nusul have kiddush. So the Gemara says, if you don't have wine, you say Kiddush over Chal, because you're saying Kiddush. Shabbos morning does nothing to the Kiddush. The meaning is that people recite Pesukim. That's only a meaning, that's not a din. What are you going to say? Hamoitzi. So you didn't say any Kiddush. So Shabbos morning, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if wine is not available, you can recite Kiddush over Chamar Medina. Whatever is a beverage that you would be mechabit someone to drink. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Somebody asked him, what qualifies as Chamar Medina? So I shaped the answer, tshuva, what qualifies, doesn't qualify. Then in the last paragraph he says, what continent in the world do you live in? Where is wine not available? Whenever wine is available, now la views chamar medina. You don't have wine, knock on the next door. There's no make kiddush by the next door. What shaykh? How can anybody use chamar medina? In Europe, they couldn't afford wine. Chavetz Chaim always used to say kiddush Friday night on challah. Couldn't afford wine; it was so expensive. But in America, we pour out wine like water. So make kiddush over wine. There's no heter to make over chamar medina. But in Europe, that was a common practice. By the Hasidim, they used to make kiddush Shabbos morning on schnapps. So the shaila was, how much schnapps do you have to have? So the misnagdim always complained, you have to have a revius. And they only have a little glass. A revius is the volume of an egg and a half, and it doesn't have a revius. So that they defended. They quoted the Taz, there's a machlokes. How much do you have to eat in order to say burn the fushes? You're eating potatoes, or you're drinking water. So how much do you have to eat or drink? So the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, you have to eat a kazayis of potatoes and drink a revius of a beverage. A revius is the volume of an egg and a half. So what about schnapps? Schnapps, the meaning is that people drink a little bit of schnapps. They don't drink so much schnapps. So the Taz is of the opinion that schnapps is seh bracha achrayin, even if you only drink as much as the meaning is you drink, since that's the meaning, so that's considered sufficient to require a bracha. The Magen Avraham disagrees with the Taz. Usually whenever there's a dispute between the Taz and Magen Avraham, usually we do not follow the Taz. So the Hasidim rely, that's what they write in the Tshuva, the Hasidim rely on the Taz, that it's okay. Since the Taz says that you don't need a revius for bracha achreinach, for barnafashis, so you don't need a revius for the Kiddush on Shabbos morning. So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhin, he doesn't understand how the Hasidim, these are Hasidim, he doesn't understand, clearly an attack against the Hasidim, but it's this. He happened to be a major misnagid, but it has nothing to do with Hasidus. He says, doesn't understand, how do they say Kiddush on schnapps? It's like saying Kiddush over soup. It's a Meichel. He says the difference between a Meichel and a Mashke is not liquid versus beverage. It's food versus, it's not a liquid versus a solid. It's food versus a beverage. So soup you don't drink when you're thirsty. Unless you mamish have nothing else. Soup you drink when you're hungry. You want to fill yourself up. Schnapps, people don't drink schnapps when they're thirsty, unless mamish you're choking, you have nothing. So you got no choice, they drink schnapps. But schnapps people drink when they want to be in a good mood. And even the Russians who drink vodka, they drink an awful lot. They don't drink it as a beverage. Coffee people drink as a beverage. Soda, seltzer, something like that, that's a beverage. But schnapps people don't drink as a beverage to quench their thirst. But it's really a meichel. That's Rav Chaim Volozhin is taina. So it's interesting, there was a great Hasidish guy in the Kozhoglover. He was the Rabban Kozhoglover before the First World War. And then after the war, there was no more Kozhoglover. He was no longer the Kozhoglover. So Meryl Shapira, who founded the Lublin Yeshiva, invited this guy in the Kozhoglover to give the highest shir in the yeshiva. And then he was killed by the Nazis in the war. He published Shalos Tshuvos, and now they're still printing his drushes and his Dibur Hasidus that he delivered in the yeshiva. Beautiful things. So he has a tshuva. He tries to defend the practice that the Hasidim used such a tiny schnapps glass that doesn't have a revius. So he says, it's a meichel. So it's not a mashke. He quotes the whole argument, it's a meichel, it's not a mashke, and all you need is a kazayis. And how much is a kazayis? Are the two opinions, where the kazayis is the volume of half an egg or a third of an egg. And the Magen Avraham says that with respect to dinim deraisa, it should be mach, with respect to dinim rabbanon, it can be meichel. So Kiddush on Shabbos morning is only the rabbanon, so it can be meichel. So the schnapps glass has the volume of a third of a beitza, so it's good, because all you need is a kazayis, because schnapps is a meichel. So that argument that he built up, that's exactly what Rav Chaim Volozhin at the time is. What are you talking about? If it's a meichel, so you can't say kiddush over soup in order to be considered chamar medina. The first premise has to be that it should be a beverage. If it's not a beverage, it doesn't qualify as a chamar medina. So that's really a question. Taisus, is it so clear that you say, forget about the cognac and the brandy. Is it so clear that you say sha'akal over schnapps? Why do you say sha'akal over schnapps? So Taisus raises the question, why do we say shahakal over beer? Why don't we say bar minim zonus? Because the Gemara says that on vegetable soup, even if you strained out all the vegetables, the bracha is ladama. Because you cook the vegetables in the water, so the flavor, the Gemara says, maya dishlake. Water that you cook the vegetables is bar piyadama, even if you strained out all the particles of the vegetables. So Taisus is bothered with the kasha. You're soaking or sometimes cooking the grain with the water and you make the beer, so it should be bar minim zonus. So Tosfos gives three answers on the question. So the answer that's quoted in the Shulchan, the official answer that's quoted and accepted, La Halacha Shulchan Aruch, is all beverages are shakal. So thus is good by beer. Beer is a beverage. A lot of people drink beer when they're thirsty. Why not? But on schnapps, the way the Kosher Glover writes, and the way the quote from Chaim Elozhen, on schnapps is the hamaychol. So schnapps maybe should be mezainis. Not so poshut that schnapps should be shahakol. It's not so poshut. So they belt them done, everybody some schnapps for sure is shahakol. And then they extended it even to the cognac and to the brandy. So the cognac and the brandy, that's what Zvi Teisel Chaim quotes from Rabbi Yanki Fendi, that's a mistake. That's regular Bori Piyadofen. He says it's regular Dina Kiyayin. And it's a shtani lemal yusus, so the bracha should retain the bracha barki adlofen. And even in the schnapps, the yevid, if you say shakal, is good, but it's not so clear that that is the correct bracha lachatchila.
How did you come to declare a michael? Is there any precedent anywhere else?
Yes, soup. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Chaye Odom, who writes, how much soup do you have to drink in order to say bar nefoshes? So one would have said a revius. So the Chaye Odom says, no, a kazayis, because soup is a food. The difference between a maichel and a mashke is not liquid versus solid, but rather food versus beverage. So soup people don't drink when they're thirsty. People drink soup when they're hungry. So soup is a liquid form of a maichel.
But soup is a food, that's how we look at it. That's correct. But we don't look at schnapps as a food.
Right.
Why not?
Look, it's just like the soup. It's a lemaisa. Soup is, we look as a food.
A course in the meal. Soup is a course in the meal.
Schnapps isn't. Schnapps isn't, we don't look at it, nobody ever accepted it. It's a very vital
logic.
Okay.
Because there's someone here on Shabbos afternoon who says over Dibbe Hasidus for Shabbos. So what Hasidus is he? I forgot.
Kamarna.
So there's a Kamarna, there was a Kamarna Rebbe wrote a Pirush on Mishnayis Taharis. So the Kosher Beloved quotes from the Kamarna, they just didn't remember that. Kosher Beloved quotes from the Kamarna, this Pirush HaMishnayis, who writes that schnapps is a Michael. And then he agrees. I just explained the logic. You're presenting a different suggestion. It should depend on perception. You think maybe it should depend on perception.
Reality
is that nobody drinks schnapps when they're thirsty. According to the way we started off, that it should be Bar Piyagof, and then you should be able to make Kiddush. But the Shaila is, once you have this idea that Schnapps is really a Michael, so that's the question, can you use cognac or brandy? Maybe it's a Michael. Maybe you can only use the Kiddush. Wine, we only use wine for Kiddush and Abdullah. Other people drink wine as a beverage.
Lechem is a
Michael.
The only reason
Shabbos
morning is because
I don't have. Right. Lechem is lechem, but yeah, maybe it has to be a beverage. That's the question.
I'd just like to remind people who came late that we requested that all questions be held until after the shiur is over.
Shiur was only over. Okay. There was a great Sfardish going in the 1700s. It was known as the Chidot. Rav Chaim Yosef David Azubai. And he traveled a lot. He was born in Eretzon. He was a mishulach for the yeshiva in Eretzon. He traveled all over Europe and he raised money. Then he lived in Italy in the last 30 years of his life. So he published many svarim. He died at the age of 83 and they claimed that he wrote 83 svarim. We have over 70 svarim. We don't have all the 83 svarim, if that's true. One of the svarim that we do have from him is a travelogue. He wrote about in his travels on the boat and this, and in Europe, so he writes all the different interesting things that he saw. So he writes, I remember when before Bar Mitzvah, I used to read, had nothing better to do, so instead of learning Chumash and Gemara, I used to read the Chidosh Traveler. So he writes, fascinating, that there were communities in Europe, Chalila, they wouldn't drink Goyish wine, but for Kiddush and Avdolah, they would use it. How could that be? So they gave an explanation, the Balabatim gave a Bamadish explanation, that the Takonas Chachamim, to recite Kiddush over wine, Havdolah over wine, preceded the Gzera de Rabbanon prohibiting treif for wine. So when the later rabbis prohibited the treif for wine, they had no right to prohibit it for Kiddush and Havdolah, because the grandfather didn't. That Takana came first. So he says that's not the generally accepted opinion. We assume that it's treif for wine. So you don't know how to use it for Kiddush and Havdolah either. It doesn't matter which Takana came first. There is an issue in the last 60 years, there's an issue about blended whiskeys. So blended whiskeys, if you blend one schnapps with another schnapps, there's no problem. The shot is sometimes they blend schnapps with wine. So what's the din? If you have trefa wine and it gets blended in with, let's say, a friend of mine years ago, his wife had a baby, so he had a non-Jewish woman help out in the house. And because he left a bottle of wine in the refrigerator from Motzei Shabbos till next Shabbos, so the Goyish maid thought that they liked to pour in wine and whenever they cook anything. So she was making a soup there for the family, so she poured a little wine every time. So the Shaila was, does it make it treif? The wine that she poured out becomes treif because of Goychai. So how much soup do you have to be mevatla treif for wine? So if you mixed in soup into a maichel, so the din is like anything else that's treif. You have to have shishim. If you have 60 times as much as the treifa thing that fell in, so then it's bottle anything less than shishim, it's not. And then the Rishonim have an idea, and this is accepted halacha l'maisa, if the wine is mixed into punch, if the wine is mixed into water, then you don't need shishim, shisha is sufficient. If you have 6 units of water against 1 unit of wine, is already muta. What kind of a din is that? So the din is, let's say you have wine that was mixed with water. So the din is, you still say bar pi agafen. How long do you say bar pi agafen? So if you have 6 units of water, or 6 units of punch, to 1 unit of wine, then it no longer is considered bar pi agafen. If you have less than 6 units, then it's still bar pi agafen. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, this is only in the days of the Gemara when the wine used to be very strong. Today the wines are not as strong as they used to be, so it shouldn't really be 6-1. So we're not sure what it should be. But over here, if you have 6 units of water, or 6 units of something, against the 1 unit of wine, so then we would paskin that that's mutas. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes this. He has several tshuvas in a row to Rabbi Teitz from Elizabeth, Zechron Lerocha, that there were those who wanted to give a hashgacha on the blended whiskeys where they mix in wine into the schnapps. So Rav Moshe says, Adarabba, you should give a hashgacha. Why not do, it should be muskam l'chaladeh, it should be kosher. But he says, strictly speaking, it's kosher anyway, because the wine that's mixed in is really it's more than 6-1, so therefore it's really bottle. Others disagree with Rav Moshe. And they say, what are you talking about? That halacha, that if you have 6 units of punch against 1 unit of wine, that it's kosher, that's because the flavor is so insignificant, so it's not, you don't apply tamkika. But here, the liquor companies, the schnapps companies, will pour out tens of thousands of dollars worth of schnapps, because they're not happy about the blend. They're upset that it's not the proper blend. So how can you say that the flavor is insignificant? So that's why others say that it's awesome. So it's interesting, it turned out that it's a machlekes among the rabbonim, and then they checked, it seems it's a machlekes among the schnapps companies. Let's say when they age wine, when they age schnapps in wine casks, in sherry casks, why do they age the wine in the sherry casks? Sounds like a telza hakira. Why do they age the wine in the sherry casks? Is it that they're interested in the flavor of the sherry? Oh no, they're interested in the flavor of the wood. So what do they need sherry casks? Because if you're going to have too much wood, then it's going to ruin the flavor of the schnapps. So they have to have a sherry cask, so the sherry should offset the flavor of the wood. Sounds like the Telza Hakira, why do you stir the sugar in the tea? Is it that the sugar makes it sweet, and you have to stir it till it dissolves? Or the spoon makes it sweet, and you have to know how long to stir the spoon, so when the sugar dissolves, then you know the Yisrael. Sounds like a funny Telza Hakira. So I remember once, I was in the OU office on a Friday, and a young man called up from Eretz Yisrael, a schnapps company in Ireland, and he has me on the phone at the same time, a conference call, and then he asks the girl over there, this Hakira, why do they age the schnapps in the sherry cask? Are they interested in the flavor of the wood? Interested in flavor of the wine. So she starts to laugh, and she says in her Irish English, heavy Irish accent, she thinks for sure they're interested in the flavor of the wine, but let me connect you with the chemist of the company. He knows. I'm just in charge of sales. So she connects him with the chemist. Of course we're interested in the flavor of the wood. We're not interested in the flavor of the wine. The wine is to offset the flavor of the wood. So when every 2-3 years they write this up in the New York Times, in the Sunday magazine, they have a whole arichas about the schnapps companies, and they write it's a machloikis among the schnapps companies, an alte minig, from Doris Kadmonim that they age the schnapps and wine casks and the sherry casks. So they have chiluk ideas. Why? Are they really interested in the flavor of the wine? So if they're interested in the flavor of the wine, how can you say that it's a tam kolosh? Of course they make strafe. But if they're really interested in the flavor of the wood, and the wine is just to offset the flavor of the wood, so then Rav Moshe is right. That since it's 6-1, so it's a tam kolosh, doesn't make awesome. Someone was, when we were once talking to years ago, there were two young Tamir Chacham who spent all day and all night by Rav Moshe Feinstein. There was Elimelech Bluth and Felder. Aaron Felder from Philadelphia. So he used to spend all day and all night by Rav Moshe. So he once asked Felder, how does Rav Moshe celebrate? Rav Moshe was born on Zayin Adar. That's why they gave him the name Moshe, because Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. So someone asked him jokingly, how does Rav Moshe celebrate his birthday? So he says he takes a drink of blended scotch, because he holds from his tshuva, he holds up the blended scotch mutter, and makes a l'chaim. He follows his opinion that the blended schnapps is mutter, and he makes a l'chaim. But that's the issue. That's the issue. Let me just close with one point. The Gemara in the middle of the... Two more points to go. The Gemara in the middle of the discussion of non-Jews ushering the wine. So the Gemara says, what if it's a non-Jew? Hapnis can shaykhis with Avodah Zarah? Absolutely not interested in Avodah Zarah at all. Then the Gemara says, there's no reason that you can say it's also bano. It's only also bakiba. Also bishtir, it's mutabano. So the Gemara says there, if you have a tinek ben yomo, the baby was just born today. The baby's only a half a day old. So by accident, the baby is foot, the baby's a hand, dipped into the container of kosher wine, doesn't make a treif. So the Gemara says, only makes treif bishtia, it doesn't make treif b'hanor. So the Rabbi Natam has a wild opinion there. The Tosis doesn't want to quote. There are long Tosis in an Avodah Zarah that tell a lot of stories. The Tosis in Avodah Zarah are different from other Mesichtas. They tell a lot of stories and a lot of machlokes. So Tosis writes, Rabbi Natam said something that's so unreasonable, but not even going to write what it is. So you look in the earliest one, look in the Ozeroth, they quote what the Rabbi Natam said. Rabbi Natam says, why is it Tinek Ben Yomo? Why does the Mar single out the baby was born today? What's the significance? He says, a Tinek Ben Yom, a little baby boy who's not Jewish, you couldn't even convert him in the first 8 days because you have to do a bris milah. When a non-Jew wants to become Jewish, you have to perform first a bris milah, then you have to be tevil, the candidate, and a mikvah. So the first 8 days, he can't do a bris milah. So Tinek Ben Yom didn't even have a chance to convert. But if the baby would be more than 8 days old, he had a chance to convert and he's not converted, then if he touches the wine, doesn't know what he's doing either when he's 8 days old, but he's worse. Since he had an opportunity to convert and he didn't, then he would ask the Baal Noah. So Tosis writes that we don't have this whole Tosis, the Ozeroth quotes. It's utterly ridiculous. 8 days is by a Jewish baby. You have to wait to do the Mila on the eighth day. A non-Jewish baby, you can perform the Bris Mila the first day when the baby is born. So this Machlekes, I remember once I attended a Bris, Rabbi Gifter was there. He was a grandson of Rabbi Gifter. So he was sitting and talking by the Bris. I mentioned this Rabbi Natam. He said, there is no such sheet. It doesn't exist. Absolutely utterly ridiculous. I said, does Rabbi Natam said, show me. So when we went home, so I showed him the Ozeroth, I said, never heard of such a thing. This is a Machlekes. And Achrenim, it's also a Machlekes. There's a Maharsha, and the end of Perek of Lezer Benila, who says like that, and the Chasam Sofer picks it up. So the Chatchila, that's what we do. When we want to convert a non-Jewish, when someone is adopting a non-Jewish baby boy, so the Chatchila, we do wait till after the eighth day in order to perform the Bris Milah, even though the overwhelming majority of the Poskim hold that the Din of Shmini, Shmona Yomim, absolutely doesn't apply on a non-Jew who's converting, but out of respect for the Rabbi Natam, we are machmir on that. Let me just close with the following. The Gemara has a gzera that was instituted by the Amoraim. In the days of the Tanaim, it didn't exist. The Amoraim instituted it. We had so far three gzeras. We had you're not allowed to eat bishalakum, that was a gzera kaduma that came first. Then you're not allowed to eat paschakum, bread that was baked by a non-Jew. Then you're not allowed to eat stam drink, stam yenim, and then they added on and he said, ah, no, also, okay. And then in the days of the Amoraim, they made a new gzera. If you live in a city where it's common for Jews to violate Stam Yenah, New York City, unfortunately many Jews drink Stam Yenah, and there's an awful lot of intermarriage in New York City. So the observant Jews have to accept upon themselves a further chumrah that you shouldn't even drink Shecha Akum, you shouldn't even drink beer that was manufactured by a non-Jew in the bar. If you buy the, if the beer is kosher, well, the ingredients are kosher. If you take the beer and you drink it in the street, and you take it home, that's okay. But to drink shecherachim, to drink the beer in the bar, so the Gemara says that that's a new gzeir de rabban. So this is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch how far this goes. So the Ramah says it doesn't even apply to our beer. He thinks it only applies to the beer that, like they used to manufacture in the days of the Gemara, they made it not from grain. The grain, if the beer is made from grain like we make, so then it's a different kind of shecher and it's not included in the Nixdeva. Others disagree with the Ramah, and they quote the Chochma Shaddam, who lived in Vilna. He was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. He was a mechutin of the son of the Vilna, mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. So he has a bigger chumrah. He thinks that not only are you not permitted to drink beer in the bar, he thinks you're not permitted. They used to have chocolate, warm chocolate drinks. All the ingredients were kosher, and it was like today you have a coffee shop. So he thinks you're not allowed to drink not only liquors, not allowed to drink beer or schnapps in a bar. He thinks you're not allowed to drink coffee in a coffee shop. You're not allowed to drink hot chocolate drink in the chocolate shop. That's quite a chumrah. So this is people who go out on dates usually are not aware of that. That the Chochma Sadma has such a chumrah that one shouldn't drink coffee in a coffee shop. But we live in New York where so many people violate this this din of Stam Yenim. The Chayyadim complains that the rate of intermarriage in Vilna is so high. The rate of intermarriage in Vilna, the days of the Vilna going to say, what they have, one person was intermarried. Well, how much intermarriage can they have? It's gefelach, and we have to observe the chumrah, not only that you shouldn't drink beer in a bar, you shouldn't even drink the coffee or the other liquors in the shops. No, we should all be nizu and all the dinim, and we shouldn't leave the intermarriage. Okay, now we have time for all the questions. Whoever wants to discuss. Yeah.
Commissioner Brewer, can you bring down this guy in Starbucks by the question of Shabbos?
To use it for Kiddush in the morning?
Yeah.
Could be. But many were opposed. And Moshe Feinstein says the heter is only when wine is not available. Chavos Chaim Taki didn't have wine available. But in America, everybody has wine available.
The rationale for someone who has no connection, nothing with Avodah Zarah, for touching the wine, what is it? Is there, could it be, I just suggest, could it be an unstated agenda just to end socialization or certainly to find socialization between Jew and non-Jew? No?
No, the Poskim say whenever we have a Jew whom we declare as Dina Kinochri, so we apply that principle even in areas where it should have depended on the Svara, we just say it's a Leutflug Rabbon. So the halacha is we always try to make as much as possible. You shouldn't have to pass in each case based on the considerations in that case. That's called Nasatu de Berechel Ashiur. No two cases will be the same. So the Allah always tries to make all the dinim similar. So he said, anyone who's a Nachri or Dinikin Nachri, us is one. Even though the rationale doesn't apply.
Is there a rationale?
Like Lug Rabbana. That's the rationale. We make it Zer Rabbana. Because otherwise, every case will be different. No two cases will be the same. That's called Nasatu de Berechel Ashiur.
If Stam Yenom is also because of fraternization or socialization, why is Stam whiskey allowed? Why don't we ever have some whiskey?
Well, for me, whiskey, we know the ingredients are kosher.
We have kosher soda water.
Because the soda may have non-kosher ingredients. The whiskey, some whiskeys have a hechsher.
We rely upon that. How many would have had panosi if we had some whiskey with the hechsher?
No.
Yeah. I understand that for you, the various mashgichim no longer permits a non-Jewish waiter to serve in a restaurant, even Yain Mabush. So, have you heard of that? Or are you not
familiar?
So, as far as they're concerned, if you have a bushel, a waiter,
non-Jewish
waiter concerned.
No. Second question. The weddings, they always serve Yain Mabushel, and they're pouring, the non-Jews are pouring the wine.
The second question is, you equated Catholicism with Akkad, with the Avodah Zarah. You mentioned that. But I don't have the impression that Avodah Zarah is only like the Buddhists, they actually got down to the Catholics, is what's called Avodah Zarah, the ships. So why are we equating that with the Gemara's first?
there is a dispute in Achronim, what Tosfos said something about the Catholicism that is Shittos. So there is a dispute in Achronim, what did Tosfos say? So some Achronim understood Tosfos as saying that for a non-Jew, one of the Shevet Mitzvahs B'Nerach is that they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. They worship Avodah Zarah the Chayim Misa. The Tosfos says, but if they worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, so since they're worshiping the invisible Father, so even though they have a Shittos on the side, it's not Avodah Zarah for them. But for us, for sure, it's Avodah Zarah. And others say that that's a misreading in Tosfos. Tosfos never even said it as far as the non-Jew is concerned. Tosfos just said the Nochem are not prohibited from swearing the Shittos. Tosfos, the context of the Tosfos, they're talking about if the Goy will have a court case and he's going to swear in the name of the Avodah Zarah, in the name of the saints. Tosfos not even talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Talking about they're going to swear by God in the name of the holy saints. So they said the non-Jews, so a Jew is not permitted to swear in the name of God, in the name of the Holy Tzaddik, the Chavetz Chaim, and the Vilna Gaon. You're not allowed to mimshat at Shem Shemayim with anything else. Even though there's a Tzaddik in the Vilna Gaon and the Chavetz Chaim. But a non-Jew is permitted, it's not an aver for him to swear in the name of Avodah Zarah and their saints. Others say Tosfos never said a word about worshiping. If the non-Jew worships Avodah Zarah, he worships the invisible God together with the Son and the Holy Ghost. He goes to Chayim Misa.
Islam is also Avodah Zarah?
No, Islam only believes in one God, but they believe in Avi HaSheker who changed the laws. So the Rambam says, when he refers to Muhammad, he always refers to him as the Meshuggah. He says the Meshuggah was a Avi HaSheker, and he changed, but that's a monotheistic religion. They worship the invisible God that we worship. Catholicism is Avodah
Zarah.
Not familiar?
What about Hot? Say that non-Bush wine, clean lady puts into a pot to cook it up. Does that pot now have to be kosher?
Yes. Sure it does. Sure it does. Like in the factories where they process non-kosher wine and they want to have a run of kosher wine, so the Gemara has long discussions, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes all of it. What's the kashering procedure? You have to kasher all the kelim that the non-kosher wine was cooked in.
Regular tray.
Yeah, sure.
I said earlier this year that blood is the blusha, we passed in like the Rav Lah, that it's only the Rav Lah. Would that apply also to kelim like the blusha?
It's a good kasha, but the din is not so. I don't know why, it's a good kasha. Chelev das mevusha was also in the Natar. Yeah.
We do consider it also in the Natar, even though it's not Roy, it's on the Mispeah.
Correct. Yeah. I don't know, it's a good kasha, you got to think about it.
I want to remind everybody that Rav Shechter, first I want to thank Rav Shechter again. I would like to remind everybody that Rav Shechter is coming back in 2 weeks.
What did it happen?